in the Wilma Municipal Utilities Commission to or, meeting to order this Monday, December 9 at 11:46, to be exact. Okay, and the first thing on our agenda this morning is our meeting agenda. Any additions, corrections, subtractions to that? Hearing none, the meeting agenda stands as printed. We will move to the consent agenda. And our consent agenda includes our minutes from November 25th and then a review of our approval and payment of the bills. And I look for a motion to accept the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Just a second, I'll raise my hand. That motion to accept the resolution to accept our consent agenda, is there been made and second? Is there any further discussion? Anything on the bills that anyone had? No comment from anyone that has questions on it? It seemed pretty outstanding on it. Roll call, please. Yeah.
Certainly. Commissioner DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth, and that motion for the resolution passes. Yeah, the next thing on our list is our consultant listings that we're always presented with, and I'll turn that over to Manager Heron for a little further explanation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is an annual approval of consultants by policy. All consultant work over $5,000 need to be brought before the commission. This is a process that was started about 3 years back, that at the beginning of the year we bring a list of consultants and a type of work, description of work that is required by them throughout the year, and we have a blanket approval for that work at this meeting so that staff can keep these projects moving. With that said, I'd like to make two comments and we'll field questions. But three-fourths of the way down under utilities, all departments, we have to be determined. We got marketing, environmental, and building, and architectural consultants of $50,000. That's a placeholder at this point in time. If we were to move forward with acquiring land this coming year, which is identified in our strategic plan, that land acquisition is considered in 2020, that would give us some consulting dollars to use if we have to do some environmental assessment work, things of that nature, before we purchase the property. And the other item that's not on here that I'll turn it over to Kevin for after a field questions, if there is any, is to talk about our power plant, as we do not have anything listed here for some initial environmental study work for our power. So with that said, I'll answer questions to the listing we have here, and then I'll turn it over to Kevin to give the commission a little bit of an update on what we have going on with the power plant.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Kevin?
Question from Commissioner Mattern, please.
Thank you, Madam President. John, looking at the list, there's engineers for the water treatment plant design. All the work that's been done previously on that, is that being scrapped? Are we starting over, or what's the status there then?
No. Good question, Commissioner Mattern. What we have going on there is constant review, looking at, you know, in legislative change and environmental changes, how is it affecting us, looking at costs. When we put the project on the shelf, we asked Corolla to monitor what's going on out there, and if there's going to be significant changes that will have a significant financial impact on that project, to let us know. So it's we may or may not spend money there. We have it as a placeholder.
Okay.
But at this point in time, as we speak, you know, we don't have anything going on. But if something comes up, we want to be able to, you know, look into it, follow it, and bring recommendations to the commission.
Sounds good.
Okay. And does require, because they do go forward, it does require a resolution of acceptance.
Yeah, we'll if that project moves forward for whatever reason, that project will be back in front of the planning committee with a recommendation to the commission as a whole.
Well, we have a resolution to accept the listing of the consultants. Is there someone to make that resolution?
I'll introduce that resolution.
Okay. Second?
I'll second that.
Okay, a motion to accept the resolution of acceptance of the consultant listing for 2020 has been made. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll let you take roll call, Beth.
Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
Lammer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Okay, and that carries. Thank you very much. Next thing on our agenda is the...
Madam Chair?
Oh, sorry.
If you'd allow us, I'd like to have Kevin give you a little bit of update on our power plant consulting work that we don't have listed here.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Just for information.
Sorry, I was thinking to the year-end report for him talking, yeah, sorry.
Thank you. So yeah, as you know, with the news in the last few weeks about the decision to discontinue the plant, we've actually gotten some attention for that building and property that we weren't expecting. I had a meeting with the city last week, and they have a potential interested party that they'll be meeting with on the 18th, and they'll be getting back to us and letting us know the level of interest. But as we looked at that and had some other discussions with the group that Ross brought in last week also, we anticipate having to do some of our upfront work on the studies, phase one, phase two, environmental studies, and getting a little bit better information on what the cleanup would cost us. We anticipate that we would have to do that work up front before we'd have an answer whether or not we could sell the building as is or reuse it. There's quite a bit of abatement work that needs to be done in that building. Is if somebody wanted to repurpose that building, for example, we wouldn't even have a clue as to what that would cost or what that would look like until we have these studies done with a contractor such as Braun Intertech or one of those. So just kind of a heads up, we would more than likely bring that info back to the planning committee and discuss that, as it wasn't budgeted for this next year. We had that out for quite a few years. We weren't expecting there to be interest, I guess.
Again, at first blush, it may be interesting to see how it goes. And part of that center control area, we were anticipating that would stay there until got a new building to move it to.
That's correct. We'll be meeting with staff. We'll be meeting starting next week to identify what we need to keep heat in. For example, that central control area, there's also a battery room that we may need to heat. There's a well we'll have to deal with. There are certain things that we'll have to address before next winter. And put a time frame together, yeah, for that stuff.
So a whole project, the decommissioning was handled, and now there's another project has been created. What do we do with it next?
Said Madam Chair, thank you, Kevin. And so we talked about putting something on this listing here, and we felt that with that project identified out in 2025-26, because the need to move our switchgear and SCADA system out of there, and rather than moving it twice, we're going to move it straight into the new building. And with what's surfacing here, we felt that it was important to talk about it here today with our consulting listing, but actually not put it on here because it technically isn't budgeted, and we need to start with the planning committee on the process forward here with that plan. So we wanted to make sure everybody was aware of where we're at with it today. And if you see a notice going on for a planning committee meeting to talk about the power plant and opportunity there, that's kind of where it's at.
So, okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I do have a couple of questions follow up on that. One is, do we know about what the costs would be? And the second is my understanding that we have to have those done regardless if we sell it or if we demolish that ourselves?
That's correct. Those studies would need to be in place or done regardless. I guess the advantage of doing them up front would be that the commission could choose at any time to do the abatement, perhaps. They might want to do that in a couple of years if the budget allowed. And then the building would be ready to be either taken down or repurposed. Initial estimates to do the phase one and phase two studies were kind of a shoot from the hip, but in that $60,000 to $65,000 range, we actually feel that's a little bit low. So we would want to meet with those groups before we came to the planning committee with, you know, what those costs would be or estimates. Once they do that, and part of that is an inventory of the building, once they have that done, they know exactly how much asbestos and other materials that are in there that need to be abated, and then we can get firm prices on actual cleanup. Everything we've gotten in the past is basically based on a walkthrough and not an actual inventory. So to answer it, yes, it needs to be done, and it matters whether we do it up front or wait. The only advantage of doing it up front is it opens the opportunity up for those discussions with interested people.
I think it would aid in negotiating a sale price, mm-hmm. you know, for the buyer and for us both.
I thought last time when we had the tour, similar plant like this, doing the abatement, it was like close to about $1 million, something like that. Was that correct?
The total cost or estimates that we've gotten to actually completely commission and raise the plant were in areas of $4 to $5 million. Okay. And about 2/3 to 3/4 of that typically is the abatement. And that's the cleanup portion of it. It could be $2 to $3 million, but we don't have, you know, that's a big span, $2 to $3 million. So that's why this upfront study would identify what our real costs would be.
Any other questions from commissioners?
Go ahead. The meeting on December 18th with city. We from the utilities have any staff at that meeting or anybody present?
No.
Okay. Is there a reason that we should or should not? Or
that's a good question, Commissioner Mattern. What we were told is that they have a meeting with two individuals that expressed an interest in the plant there, and everything is confidential, and after they have their meeting, they will reach back out to us and let us know how that meeting went, if their individuals are still interested, and where things are at. So,
okay. Thank you.
Any others?
So that means they are aware of the cost of the cleanup and all that sort of thing, the city, right? Before they do this.
The city is. When we met with the city, we stopped over. We met with the city at the utilities request to talk about the opportunity zone that they're developing and to ask if our service center property and the power plant property and the coal yard property could be included in the opportunity zone. And the opportunity zone is already set by the city council, and it has a criteria, and Councilor Muskie maybe can allude to the criteria, but I believe it's a state set criteria that brings property into the opportunity zone. So it's actually a state opportunity zone, is that correct?
Yep, it was already, and unfortunately it was already defined before we knew this could come up.
So the city had indicated, city staff indicated that they are working on a city opportunity overlay zone, that there are going to be additional incentives from the city, and with those additional incentives, they could expand that zone to include our property. So that was our discussion with them this past week. So then once we finished discussing the opportunity zone, then they ask about the plant and informed us they had some individuals express some interest in it, and they're wondering where we were at. And we indicated to them that anywhere between $1 and $5 million. And that's where we, you know, got into more details about, you know, negotiating and doing some of the cleanup work and splitting the costs, and so we had a real high level discussion with city staff. So we'll know more as we go forward here if this individual or individuals are truly interested, and if they are, we're probably going to need to move quicker than we anticipated here in trying to define, as Kevin alluded to, what are the cleanup costs over there and how do we cost share those, make this project viable for, you know, somebody, and save our customers some money as well. So that's where it's at with the city.
And in visiting with John a little bit about it, he shared a point that I thought was critical. Oh, I hadn't kind of thought about that. Say that if we're selling it for $1, and a person would say, oh, okay, I'm going to buy it for $1 and strip all the copper and all the older stuff out of there and say, okay, I don't want it anymore, you can have it back. And so Well, when you're doing and working with someone, that all those areas, like what a consultant would do, would be covered in an agreement with it.
Yep.
So, any other questions at this time? I'm sure we'll have many as we go along here, and they'll work on and keep us informed. Okay, thank you very much, John and Kevin, on this. Next, we'll go to the Missouri River 2020 rates manager here, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you go to the second page of the attached document, it indicates the rates, current rates, and the effective rates, 1-1-2020. As Missouri River alluded to numerous times over the past couple months with their monthly updates and our area meetings for the commissioners that attend the area meetings, that there would be no change. Per S1 contracts, they have to officially send out notice of that. This is that official notice. There is no change with the rate stated, except the energy, green energy rate adder was at 1.8 cents, and now they're dropping down to a half a cent. The 1.8 cent that was established probably about 15 years ago, it had to do with what they referred to the River Winds program. And if anybody wanted to contribute towards the development of wind energy, that rate was an additional buck and a half. The half cent that you see there, that's a REX program that we talked about. So the River Winds program, when they're looking at the rate, that's being dropped down from 1.8 cents to a half a cent. So for the total green energy rate, that would go from 4.95 cents down to 3.65 cents because of that change. So, and then if you look down, the second paragraph underneath there, underneath this schedule, they talk about transmission rates. We are part of Great River Energy. That is truly a pass-through. However, being a GRE bills after Missouri River bills the members, they always establish a rate that they use for the monthly billing, and then that's always trued up the following month. So that rate is actually being dropped. Denise, I don't know if Denise knows it offhand, but it was like 7.10 or 7.5, something like that, and it's being dropped down to 6.95. So a little bit of a reduction there just to reflect closer to true costs on a monthly basis. So our transmission credits, therefore, on a monthly basis would go down as well. But in the end, each month, it's an actual cost. It's just a pass-through. Any questions?
So this is every year,
every year
of the year that we should be expecting this stuff.
Yep. Commissioner Mabu, that would be correct. Every year we should see a schedule like this telling us if there's a rate change or no rate change, things of that nature. That's spelled out in what is referred to as our S1 contract with Missouri River.
Okay. So, yep. So anticipated, it shouldn't be like too much change every year. Is that something you're just wondering?
Yeah, this year's. Go ahead.
So what would be the most sort of expected, like if things get out of the hand?
No, good question, Commissioner Mabu. What they're telling us, based on what they know right now, today, no change in 2021, no change in, or 2020, no change in 2021, and 2022 they're looking at, but that's getting out there a ways, but they don't foresee much of an increase, if any. So that's kind of the information that they shared at the annual meeting last May, and also at the area meetings that they were holding here this last couple months. So pretty stable.
So, yeah. So.
John, with our portfolio, how much does this, of our energy, are we getting from MRSS now? We still got contracts with, what, Whippy and...
Yes. Commissioner DeBleek, yes. We can look that up. Denise, would you know enough? No. We can, on a percentage basis, I can't answer that question. I apologize. But we receive 20 megawatts from GRE. We receive about 7 out of WAPA. We receive about 9 out of Whippy. So... 20, 27, 9, 30. So they're probably in the vicinity. They're covering the power plant, which was 5. And so we're probably, I'm going to say, between 6 and 7 megawatts. What that is on a percentage, I would have to do the calculation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's somewhere in that vicinity.
Okay.
So you know, want us to follow up with a percentage, or that answer your question?
Yeah, if you want to put it on the next agenda.
Okay, we can do that. We can add it to the next agenda and talk about what that percentage is. Okay.
question. Anything else that's kind of under about anyone? If not, thank you, General Manager Herring, for that report and update on it. And then the next comes our educational topics and updates. And this is the beginning of our year-end review, and maybe have John give you a little bit of a background how he has staff doing this and that type of thing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As Madam Chair referenced, the start of our year-end reviews for the last 3 years, this I believe is our third year now, each department head looks at their budgets, looks at the capital budgets, and then we provide an update to the commission on what's in the capital budget, what's been completed, what wasn't completed, why it wasn't completed, and all the dollars that were approved for those projects are tied to what was actually expense for those projects. So those updates will take place starting today and through the first meeting in March, with the exception of the first meeting in January will be the Commission 101. If you recall that, we kind of talk about commissions, conflict of interest, roles, responsibilities, things of that nature. So all the educational updates starting today through the first meeting in March will be provided from department heads on their respective departments and what has all transpired over the year. So with that, Kevin is leading us, followed by Mike here today.
Cool. Thank you. So as you have the 2019 year in review for the facilities and maintenance departments, split up in a couple different areas, starting with the power plant. Notable projects during 2019 was the project where we leveled and capped the coal yard. Spoke with Braun Intertech about how to handle that and kind of mitigate those runoff issues and coal issues. So as we showed you in our tour, we leveled that yard and capped it with clean fill. So that is in good shape for the time being. The excess coal equipment, we sold a few of those pieces this year. We sold the coal elevator and the Carho truck itself. Some of the other equipment remains. And then just recently, we sold the John Deere payloader just a couple weeks ago. We have 7 employees that are remaining at the plant as of today. And as you're aware, the decision made by the commission to decommission the plant on June 30, 2020. On the facilities and maintenance side, notable projects during the year, we assisted with the strategic plan and implemented that in September. The Border States Inventory Management Project, that's a project where we're going to have, we're partnering with Border States to have them barcode and electronically inventory our inventory, basically, the line department, distribution inventory. That'll hopefully streamline that process and also will aid us in allowing us to carry less dollars on the shelf, basically, as Border States will inventory our backup in Fargo and with regular deliveries and having our backup materials in their store, it'll save us money and space in ours. So we're looking forward to wrapping that project up. The next step there is to have them come out and actually label our inventory. We're expecting that actually in the next few weeks. And I'm thinking sometime in January, February, we'll go live with that and kind of turn that piece over to them. So that'll be a good change for the department. We completed the Homeland Security visits and the reports. We had a report on that a month or so ago. We're currently working with the staff on some of those security recommendations. We completed the League of Minnesota Cities ADA requirements for the WMU buildings. We had a few cleanup things, some changes, signage, even down to restriping the parking lot to make sure that we're compliant with the ADA acts. Worked with the city and the downtown business owners group on the downtown street lighting project. Where that is at currently is that the city has the updated street lighting agreement. We wanted to get that agreement. It hadn't been updated since the early 90s. We wanted to touch that again and add in, as we're changing the fixtures and the design of downtown street lighting,
So we were updating that agreement, and the city had that agreement, sent it to Mr. Scott for some review. As of last week, they were going to finish making a few changes and then get it back to us for review. We're hoping to have that in place in the next couple of weeks, and then we will. We have four of the fixtures that are going to be installed. Kind of came to consensus on a design, and now we're going to install these four fixtures, and then we'll be able to play with the lighting levels and make sure that, you know, we get it to what the downtown folks would like as far as light levels and security. So we're looking forward to that in the next couple of months here. We completed the annual wind turbine maintenance and wind turbine training and blade repairs to Tower 4. The blade repairs to Tower 3, as we've spoken about before, will be reevaluated and rebid in 2020. As far as capital equipment purchases, it was kind of a quiet year for us. There was no new vehicles or equipment, major equipment in the 19 budget, but we did wrap up a 2018 budget item with the Digger Derrick truck that was delivered. That project was originally estimated or budgeted at $300,000, and it came in just over $272,000. Then on the next page, what we wanted to do here is come up with a wind turbine cost analysis, so we could identify basically what the wind turbines have cost us per kilowatt hour since inception. So we're able to take all the costs and maintenance, operating costs, the total asset costs, interest, and add it all together and did the simple math with the kilowatt hours that it has produced since 2009. And that number from July 2009 when the turbines went online through the end of October is just over 19 cents a kilowatt, 0.191 I believe it was. So that is our kilowatt hour cost per power on the wind turbines so far. And that's the conclusion of my report. And I would certainly answer questions if you had them.
Any questions, folks, on the commissioners on the your report?
Go ahead. One question, just looking at the cost on when you deducted everything from the turbine, so that is 19 cents per kilowatt. So is that what we expected to be, or is it kind of a little bit high?
I would say it's not where we would like it to be. That's certainly high.
Yeah.
In reference, we were at the power plant, for example, we were at the 14 to 15 cents per kilowatt hour.
Yeah.
And the decision was made not to create energy that way. You know, we purchased for 6 to 7. So it's obviously higher than we'd like it to be, but we've had some costs that were.
And when it's aged more, then it will cost more too.
Theoretically, the turbines are halfway through their expected life cycle. They were expected to last 20 years. We're 10 years into that. So all of our asset costs are in this calculation. So if all went well and we got to year 20, and those asset costs would wash out a little bit, it's obviously going to dilute this number. We would hope to get it down as far as we can. But if we hit 20 years, great. You know, we could certainly update this yearly as we go over the next years to see how that number changes.
But the maintenance will go high, definitely, because of erosion and all that will play a role. So the cost will be.
Also, Kevin, maybe expand on the potential of those turbines making the full 20 years, just as a refresher for the commission.
Yeah. Like I mentioned, the life cycle or the life expectancy of them is 20 years. We certainly, I would really hesitate to put a percentage on how I feel that if they're going to make another 10 years. So I think talking with staff, we're fairly comfortable that we're going to get 3 to 5. Anything beyond that, I think, would be a huge bonus for us. As this particular wind turbine, this model of DeWin wind turbine that we know of, there's only two operating in North and South America, and you own them both. So, at one point, there was about 25 of them, the ones, 25 to 28 of them, the ones in Oklahoma, Some of them maybe are capable of running, but they're not even attempting to get them going. The other one was down in the Buffalo Ridge, and that one just went down here a few months ago, and they're not going to do anything with it. And then the fourth one was in Texas. They used that at the at a technical school. It was operating, and they used that to do their wind turbine training on, or their tech students, and that unit also has failed, and they're unable to get it going. So as of right now in North and South America, we have the two 8.2s that are still operational. So as we you talk about that, and then we think that there may be one in Europe somewhere at quite a high elevation. They put one in the Alps somewhere. We can't verify that. So as we go through these things, and we have a piece of a failure in a component in those wind turbines, we anticipate that the suppliers are probably not going to pay too much attention to us because of the supply and demand of these things. There's just two of them left. So, you know, I guess if somebody came to me and said, I need you to engineer this part, they're not going to probably worry about it too much because they're only going to sell one of them unless it came with quite a cost. So.
Just out of curiosity, when they quit working, do you just leave them there, or must they be, like, taken down?
That's actually a topic of conversation as of late. I've seen it in a few trade magazines where they're really struggling to dispose of wind turbines that have failed or that they have taken down at the end of their life cycle. It's just kind of starting to happen in the United States where 20-year-old wind turbines are being taken down, and, you know, what do you do with this blade? They've tried crushing them. They've tried all sorts of things. They're just so massive in the way that a blade, for example, is constructed. It looks frail, but it's not. So I think they're exploring how to dispose of them. At this point, they're burying whole blades in landfills, and that takes up a lot of space. So there's a lot to be learned yet about how to dispose of wind turbines.
It's always interesting to hear always how great, you know, the solar energy and the wind energy, how great that is, but they neglect to tell that part about what happens when it's used up. What we'll do at that time. Other questions anyone may have for Kevin? Go ahead.
I do. Have you taken a look at what the cost per kilowatt hour could be next year based on what anticipated maintenance costs are and what we get for what's produced?
We have, not by year, but we did kind of roughly figure out into the 15 and 20 year ranges. I guess a goal I think that could be attainable in that would be getting it down to that 14 to 15 cents over the by the end of 5 years, somewhere in that range. So. Take away the cost of the asset, obviously, drops considerably. When we purchased these, there was no incentives, you know, available to us.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Hearing none, thank you very much, Kevin, for your report. And then we'll go to Mike on the with the IT report.
Good afternoon, Commission. I'm here to give the Information Technology Departmental update, and it's been a busy but productive year, I think. Starting with the capital items, in 2019, I had budgeted $94,000 to virtualize our physical NISC servers that were 5 years old and needing replacement. But this required us to beef up our current virtualized environment with a new server, more storage capacity, some disaster recovery items, things like that. And then on top of that was still the actual virtualization that NISC would have to do. So after all that was complete, it was brought to our attention that there was a NISC hosted solution. And after weighing some of the pros and cons of that, we decided we'd give that a try. And so for that reason, we spent zero of the $94,000 for that virtualization. And if you have any questions at any time, just stop me and I'll answer anything you have. So one of the other things we did this year was our server room. For security purposes, we moved our copier out of there. It was more our copier room, I think, at times. And moved that out into its own room now, and also put a lock on the door, so that eliminates unnecessary traffic and people that need to be in there. And just give Commissioner Mattern a little thank you for pushing that along a little bit. We added UPSs, Universal Power Supplies, to our customer service area, to things like the credit card readers, the CSR terminals, just in that area. And fortunately, we haven't lost power yet, so, but it's there when we need it. So then in July, we went live with the NISC ASP, which is Application Service Provider. And ASP basically gives us everything we had in-house with NISC. It's just provided or hosted at their facilities. And that gives us the same applications such as customer care, billing, finance. And it provides high availability and data redundancy. And one of the benefits is that I don't have to go looking for servers every 5 years to update that. So it's kind of pay on one end or the other. But so overall, I think it's been a good move. There have been a couple minor functionalities that people have come across that seem to be a step backwards, but nothing major. So with NISC being hosted off-site, it was imperative that we had a secondary internet service provider. So we got that in place. So in the event our primary internet provider goes down, that will fail over to the backup. I upgraded the firewall hardware this year, along with the renewed 3-year support. They had a special, almost a free type situation, but so upgraded the firewalls. We added a large screen in the line department for the line workers, so they can always see the SCADA system when they walk in, to give them heads up what's going on in the system. Normally it would be one guy or a couple guys huddling around one PC in somebody's office, but now it's available to everybody. Our pen test, as you know, White Oak Security recently did our pen test. We did an external pen test like normal, and then also for the first time an internal pen test. Once again, they found no critical or high vulnerabilities. They did find some low vulnerabilities that NetSpy in the past has also found, so they kind of corroborated what NetSpy found in the past, so it was kind of good. And then internally, we did have some high vulnerabilities, and those were mainly due to two aging servers that we have. And as a matter of fact, we already shut one of those down, and one we can maybe add a patch to, but that's over at the plant. But that one hopefully can be shut down soon as well. And then just a reminder with the Department of Homeland Security that I signed up for their services in June of 18. And again, they have a 12 to 18 month waiting list. And they give a 60-day notice, and to date, I still have not heard from them. So that's why I keep putting money in the budget for a pen test. Then our security awareness program, that was also back in 18 that we started that, but we continue to fish our employees and send them training videos, and some people are aha, and some people are just, I'm not going to look at my email. But it's been good. I think it's really caused people to really pause before they click. And then with Windows 10 support ending here in January, we've either upgraded or replaced all of PCs and laptops, so we're ready to go in that regard. And then as the new year is fast approaching, I'm currently getting quotes for a new SAN, storage area network, and host server. The support for those run out in early March, so I'd like to get those done sooner rather than later. And these would be the types of things that had I virtualized last year, or this current year, I would have actually upgraded those a year earlier than I would have liked to, but there would have been really no reason to stick more money into aging hardware, so. And that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'll try to address them.
You mentioned something about when you talked about the penetration test, but that's an ongoing, because I know in the last couple payments that there's been penetration tests.
Yes, there was. Prior to the test starting, they required half of it, and then for the completion, the other half. So I will give a more detailed report on that pen test, hopefully in January sometime, because currently we're remediating some of those issues, and then they'll rescan, run their tests again.
Well, most recently in the Washington Post that Alexandria was quoted as having a security, I don't want to call it a breach, but an attempt to their system. Have you ever found something like that here?
There are attempts probably every day. If monitoring the firewall, there's hits coming in every day. So you try to blacklist those, or as a matter of fact, our firewall will blacklist those automatically when they sense stuff like that. So,
okay. Questions? Mr. Mattern.
Mike, thanks for the update here. Looking at the hosted NISC platform, what is the cost for switching over to that?
The actual numbers from what we're paying right now to what we are paying pre-July is probably about $1,000 more.
Monthly?
Monthly.
Okay.
So again, it's, say that's $12,000 a year. I believe when I ran the numbers, and I couldn't find that spreadsheet for the life of me, but over 4 years, I believe I ran it. It was pretty comparable, whether we did it in-house or hosted. So,
and then on the secondary ISP that we have, is that coming through copper, coaxial, Wi-Fi, or fiber?
Fiber.
Okay. Thank you.
One quick question. Maybe I didn't understand exactly, but maybe that's the question Justin just asked. The 94,000 that we saved, that means servers are going virtually somewhere else.
Offsite.
So is that what you're referring to, saving that cost at zero, but they're going to increase monthly 1,000? Is that what?
That's that 94,000 basically because we are having them hosted offsite.
Yeah.
Basically means I didn't have to pay that money to upgrade my virtualized system.
Okay.
So even though we save money here, costs are going to go up a little bit on the operational side just for having it hosted, because we pay that monthly.
Comparable a little bit, is that the 10,000-12,000 that you mentioned?
Yes.
Okay.
So in comparison, I am looking at that SAN and server for this year, which is going to be probably around a little less than 40. So it kind of cuts that in half on this side of it.
So that means we are obligated next 4 or 5 years with this service. Is that correct?
For the hosted service?
Yeah.
No. Technically, we could pull it back, I think, at any time, if I'm not mistaken. So yes, we could bring it back in-house if we wanted to.
Okay. Thanks.
And Any other questions? I would have more questions personally than this. So the security, because that, I know that's cybersecurity, that's always, that's huge. So thank you very much, Mike, for your report, and wait for updates as you go along with the penetration test, etc.
All right, thank you.
Okay. And next on our agenda is our wind turbine report, and we're back to our maintenance facility supervisor, Mr. Marty, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. More wind turbine news. So as you can see, we had a real nice month in November. Both turbines ran pretty much the whole month. The fact that the last 2.5-3 months, they've been operating real nicely for us. Total kilowatt hours for November was 695,008, which brings us up year to date 5,975,362, which is right in line with the last few years, and hoping for a nice windy December. We can play a little catch up and end up with a decent year. No major outages, like I mentioned, and engineering is still working on the availability reports as far as how we want to report those and get them back to you. Been working on the metering project to the wind turbines over the last few weeks, installing some of the cabling and then getting ready for the metering cabinet when that comes in. Basically what that is that MRES will be able to separately meter those wind turbines and show exactly what the output is on their side. So we're putting some infrastructure in out near the wind turbines for that project. So a couple of small outages when we do that, but otherwise they've been doing well.
Questions, comments, anyone? I just want to say the fun fact out there, I can enjoy that up to 130 miles per hour. It might be a funny fact for sure if we had those winds out there. Not that we don't believe they'll stand up, but thank you again, Kevin, for the report. Next on the list is our monthly report from Missouri River, and I'll turn that over to manager Mr. Heron, along with, he could follow that up then with his general manager's report, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Unless there's questions on the written documentation provided by Missouri River or the video, I'll have Mike start the video, which recaps the written documentation as well. All right, thank you. Mike, please.
Services and Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency Boards of Directors. The first item on the agenda was consideration of the performance indicators. The boards received updates on progress made during 2019 on strategic goals. They also reviewed and approved performance indicator targets for 2020. For the past year, Missouri River has been investigating ways to gain additional space at the headquarters facilities in Sioux Falls. The board considered various options, including building a new addition, adding a second story, or a remodeling plan to better utilize space. The Missouri River Board recommended and the Western Minnesota Board approved a construction agreement for the remodel. Work will begin in January 2020. Next, the board approved a pricing plan for a new strategic planning service that will be offered to members in 2020. With the goal of making this service affordable for all members, the board set a price of $1,000 per participating member. The board next approved an updated service matrix to include services to lower municipal utilities, to add several new services offered by Missouri River, and to remove discontinued services, such as the Riverwinds program. Because Missouri River has, for the past 4 years, had a capacity deficit in the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator market, we have been examining various ways to alleviate that deficit. With that in mind, the board approved capacity purchases with three counterparties for varying amounts of capacity and length of contracts. At the same time, discussions are ongoing about the possibility of getting gas delivery for the proposed Marshall Generating Station through the existing gas line or retail customer in Marshall. However, approval of three capacity purchases will diminish the need for the Marshall Generating Station. The board will consider options related to that proposed project at future meetings. Thank you for watching, and remember to join us again next time for our report from the December board meeting.
Thank you, Mike. One comment I'd like to make regarding the report from Missouri River, when we talk about the Marshall Generation Station, Jody referenced gas, same challenge there that they're having here. So that's why they're looking at capacity contracts and agreements. While they're still pursuing additional generation for capacity reasons in Marshall, gas is making it difficult there as well. So more to come on that, as Jody said. Next month or two, they'll be making a decision on that. Any other questions? Otherwise, we'll move on to general manager's reports. Right. Planning committee coming up tomorrow, followed by labor committee next week, 17th. And then we have our impact leadership workshop. And the same day, we'll have our employee safety luncheon. So even though if you're not able to make the impact workshop, everyone's welcome for the luncheon. Luncheon will start 12, maybe shortly before. So more than welcome to come. Looking forward to that day. I think it should be enlightening for staff, and hopefully they find it very beneficial, time well spent. So any questions for me? All right, thank you.
And I would just encourage any commissioners that can for sure come for that luncheon on the safety, because they'll do a good job here, I believe, with the safety component, how important that is. So if you're able to come for lunch that day, please mark it down. Come on over. Is there anything else to come before the commission today?
Beth had pushed out an email about a week ago to everyone's calendar, so it should be on your calendars if you're able to make it. So by all means, welcome. There will be enough lunch for everyone.
You might be really hungry.
Chicken. Do we know for sure?
Yes, it is chicken.
Yeah, so it's going to be chicken. So staff asked today, it's good, they could have chicken for lunch, so we're bringing chicken in.
Because you know, we could get a discount on turkey. No. Only teasing a little bit here. Anything else to come before the commission today? Hearing nothing before the commission that needs to be brought up, meeting is adjourned.